With the previous, we've previously discussed the 88% funding that Gates provides, the WHO, is it true that WHO is in violation of competition laws in the US and in Europe?
Absolutely. And it's an open and shut case. By the way, in the United States, 15 U.S. Code sections 1 through 3 outlaw every single bit of the actions that the World Health Organization has taken over the last 3 years. And more problematically, 15 U.S. Code section 19, which is a part of the section of the code that very few people pay attention to, actually makes one of their institutions absolutely illegal. Section 19 sets forth what's called the interlocking directorates prohibition, which means you cannot have entities who are otherwise commercial competitors sharing a common board. But the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board is the interlocking directorate of the Rockefeller Foundation, the Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, and the World Health Organization. And then, giant surprise, Anthony Fauci sits on that board from NIAID. Dr. Gao from the Chinese CDC sits on that board. Dr. Bill Elias sits on that board from the Gates Foundation. These are actually clear, unequivocal violations of Section 19 of US 15 US Code. And it is without question illegal that every act that they have taken, including the run-up to and all of the actions of the pandemic, are absolute violations of antitrust laws and racketeering laws in the United States and competitiveness laws in Europe.
Stay free. See it first.
Wow.
Yep. So when we talk about cabal, he named some names right there. Let's name a few more. So when we talk about cabal at this level, you know, we often will bring up Klaus Schwab, okay, as the number one bogeyman, and he's too easy, right? Like, you know, he's just too easy. You know, we are going to make you eat the bugs, right? I mean, you know, somebody get that guy off the stage, right? But he, you know, he's believable because he's the one that has really breathed life into this World Economic Forum over the last 2.5 decades. And
yeah, they're the PR firm for the new world.
Well, he absolutely is. And so, you know, Klaus Schwab, Barack Obama was big with them, Anthony Fauci, which, you know, Dr. Martin mentioned, Henry Kissinger, always one of the lead handmaidens early on too. Like he was really one of the earliest handmaidens of David A. Rockefeller and the Wellcome Trust, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Rothschilds. You know, Kissinger is absolutely at the very heart of the evil, the heart of darkness that has beset us in the last 5 decades, but all of this manifesting in COVID since 2019, and really before then, you know, and just the crookedness that we see coming out daily in, you know, multiple stories on, you know, Moderna and Stefan Bancel, who built the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan and then promptly turned around to take the CEO job of Moderna, which only had one employee in 2013. And I know this story very well because, you know, I was working in D.C. at the time, a few years before that, and had read through proposals, you know, that had been put in front of DARPA to do exactly what they created Moderna to do, which was generate mRNA vaccines. And, you know, this whole new, that it was going to change the world forever. Well, little did we know at the time, you know, what their full intentions were with the mRNA platform. Had no idea. We just thought it was some, you know, other cool science experiment that, like so many of the other things that DARPA does, right? They take on some of the most novel research and development, you know, in the world, and then make it work. And sometimes that's a long dwell, 10-year or 15-year long investment. But in this case, Moderna, back in 2013, Stefan Bancel, who had just come from a French firm building the lab at Wuhan where the leak supposedly happened, right? Then goes to take over Moderna. Then his name is on the patent in 2016 with Moderna for the SARS-CoV-2 virus and the fear and cleavage site patent, you know, for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, 3 years before the SARS-CoV-2 virus actually came out. And meanwhile, he's CEO of the company that's supposedly developing the countermeasures, which is the COVID vaccine. I mean, how unbelievable is that whole food chain?
Hey, by the way, speaking of food chain, Guess who Klaus's mentor was at Harvard when Klaus was there as a young man, a young tyrant in the making? Henry Kissinger.
Yes.
Henry Kissinger.
Dr. Kissinger himself.
Klaus's mentor, guide.
Mm-hmm. Major professor. He was his major professor.
I can't
professor.
Say lover, but I mean, well, but who knows what could happen when two guys who talk like this mm-hmm. get together.
So, Justin Trudeau, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who leads the World Health Organization, right, WHO, Rochelle Walensky, Scott Gottlieb, who we could do a whole show just on Gottlieb and how crooked that guy is. You know, deep, deep CIA ties. Probably gets paid by them still, even though he's on the board, you know, former FDA commissioner, the youngest ever. It's just amazing when you look at the corruption, the level of corruption that is involved there. We talked about Stefan Bancel just now, Albert Bourla at Pfizer, as corrupt as they come. All of them are definitely, you know, what we would call able villains, right? Like you can see it, especially having lived the terror that we've lived over the last 4 years.
You know, and they've all, think of them this way. Every one of them has a smirk on his face and is giving us the finger.
That's right.
That's how to look at these people.
Well, so Dr. Martin, David Martin, in the clip that Lori just played is, you know, he talks about their structure. And what was really... What's difficult for people to get their head around, Lori, is from whence did this come? You know, for all that was visible on our mainstream media, it was, you know, the news broadcasting, the mainstream media broadcasting terror that some killer virus was coming and it was going to kill all of us. And then all of a sudden, you get our talking heads on the U.S. political stage, Anthony Fauci and others standing up, you know, Deborah Birx. And you know, they're talking and making all these recommendations, and then all of these other lower level, you know, what I would call demons, okay, coming out, building the fake models out of Imperial College London, you know, that drove a lot of this. The guy over in Europe that developed the faulty polymerase chain reaction, the PCR test, which supposedly counted and validated somebody as COVID positive, right? And it was nothing more than a corrupted test. Never should have been approved.
But the guy who actually designed that came out very early and said, no, this test is not to be used for what they're doing.
That's right. Well, he died shortly after that. He was the original founder, the developer of PCR, polymerase chain reaction. And he was, you're right, his name was Mullins, Dr. Mullins, yeah. Professor. And he came out and he actually said that it's a completely inappropriate use of this technology.
Yes, yes.
Right? Completely inappropriate. It's good for detection of or you know, classifying what's in the genome or what's in your body, but it's not used for determining, you know, positivity of, you know, infectious diseases and then whether or not you're contagious, right? And that's exactly what they did with it. And they then corrupted that tool, the PCR tool, which is a good tool. I've used it. I used it in graduate school, right? But not for that.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was just amazing when you look at it. But let's take a step back and you know, away from those names that we just named and sit down with what Dr. Martin was just talking about, you know, because those are the puppet masters. When you talk about Gao from the China CDC and Bill Gates and, you know, the people that sit on that UN body, those, you know, that was a coordinating body. It was those people. And what's interesting and what our listeners may not know is that if we go back and we read the founding documents for the United Nations and the WHO, what kind of language do you think is in there? What do you think their chartering mandate was, or what they viewed their chartering mandate was? What do you think it might have been, Lori? Why do you think they were created?
To unite healthcare and to prevent a disease or catastrophe that could be treated on a global level.
Population control. It actually says so in their founding documents in 1947-48.
Wow.
It talks about their role was to, number one role was to shape and control the world's population. It's amazing when you really start peeling
that's
the
astounding.
Onion. That's
astounding.
It is.
I'd like to
that's
see
been
this.
That's been around for...
The journalist in me wants to put my eyes on that.
Okay.
That's been around for a couple hundred years, too. Yeah. I mean, it started before Malthus.
Right. So, you know, taking another step back, right? So we talked about David A. Rockefeller. If you go back and you look at David A. Rockefeller, and Lori's asked for the receipts, happy to share, happy to show, right? We'll do that here at our next show. But David A., a study, you could do a whole show just on David A. Rockefeller and how evil and corrupt that man is, right? And what the Rockefeller Foundation monies have been used to do to, you know, support abortion and, quote, family planning and brainwash women into thinking that abortion is a right. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. And they, you know, there are so many other answers out there besides, you know, killing a baby, right? And then, you know, tearing down the family, destroying the family, immigration. You know, Rockefeller behind so many of these evils. And so the Bilderbergers, of course, he you know, he has probably a reserved chair there at the Bilderberger meeting, the annual Bilderberger convent that they do over in Europe. But so does Bill Gates, Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, who also happens to own the Economist, you know, the Economist Intelligence Unit, Rothschild Wealth Management, was a founding member of... a radical, you know, school of thought that is meant to disenfranchise the voters, right? It is, you know, basically cooperative capitalism. They put it in such nice terms, don't they?
Oh,
cooperative
yes.
capitalism, right?
Well, public-private partnership.
Yeah, or something like that.
It's fascism. Well,
It absolutely is fascism. And so, folks, as we go through it, you know, for all of our fans out there and listeners in Radio Land, it's so important that we get our arms around this because it's not going away. These people are still out there. The same people that designed and built COVID and the COVID vaccines, the mRNA platform, which was never meant to cure anybody of anything. It is absolutely a bioweapon, and we're going to talk about that here in a second, about some findings that were announced this week and in the time that we have left. But let me read on here. So then you're talking about George Soros, the Wellcome Trust, BlackRock, and Larry Fink, a lifelong Democrat, supporter of really a ruthless tyrant, but he was in the administration of Bill Clinton. Vanguard and State Street, which we mentioned earlier. But it's just unbelievable when we look at it. And so when we transition over into, you know, our Health Freedom Minute, you know, so we talk about the cabal. We just talked about them. Who are they?
May I?
Ma'am?
Read the definition of cabal.
Go ahead.
The contrived schemes of a group of persons secretly united in a plot. Or... a secret political clique or faction.
Yes. So next we meet, I'm going to have a video. I had earmarked it to bring in and play for everyone today, but interestingly, it disappeared from Twitter.
Shocking.
Overnight. I had it bookmarked to play, and it's gone, like poof. And I'm telling you, it is one of the most articulate, erudite, succinct monologues on what we have been through and what we're faced with right now. And the lady that delivers it, she did a beautiful job. And it was at some conference with a lot of people in Canada, right?
I got it from you.
Do we have a name?
Maybe. Well, so it was on the Twitter profile, right? And so it's gone, right? But you know, you can only imagine it probably had a couple million, you know, views over the last 24 to 48 hours, and then poof, censored, gone. Even in Elon Musk and his new X universe, right? So we'll see if we can dig that one back up for you and share it with you because it's so important. But it so accurately describes every single aspect of what we've been through and what we're still confronted with. It really is fantastic. Okay, so in our Health Freedom Minute, segueing from the cabal, is a very, very important Substack that was put out by Jessica Rose, where she is citing Walter M. Chestnut, who I think is a researcher, somewhere. But in Substack, you don't always get everybody's bona fides right there, because otherwise they would, you know, there are some liabilities there for them personally. But Jessica Rose, of course, is very popular in the truther movement and has a razor sharp mind. She writes on the Substack, "Unacceptable Jessica," but she's citing Walter M. Chestnut, and the title of it is post-vaccination syndrome, PVS, actually a new spike-induced amyloidosis? So amyloidosis is a interesting medical condition where basically you get fibrin that sets up in an organ or in tissues or in blood, which is a tissue, and causes problems. And so one of the things that has been difficult for us to get our hands around, our arms around, is in the magnitude of the problem, is because after people were vaccinated, they presented with so many severe adverse effects. It was, you know, if just one of them, you know, the myocarditis, if it had just been that, that would have been bad enough. That's killed tens of thousands of people, and will continue to kill people, because the average life expectancy for somebody with myocarditis, heart damage, is like 5 years, right? That's the average life expectancy for someone with myocarditis. But it doesn't explain, myocarditis does not explain the blood clots, the brain bleeds, the turbo cancers. It doesn't do that, right? It does not explain it. The organ failure, multiple organ failure that people complain with. And so the spike protein, when it gets in the body, and I'm paraphrasing here from this excellent analysis that Walter Chestnut writes up on his Substack, is that what they've now found is that the spike protein, really what's causing a lot of these issues, is that it's amyloidosis, because the fibrin, what they've done is they've tested the subcutaneous, or the dermis, the skin, where people present with these adverse effects, where they get these bad bruising, in a, you know, the condition on the skin. And when they go in, and this is just within hours of being vaccinated, they go in and they check for fibrin, and they find that within hours of receiving any of the COVID vaccines, that tiny strands of fibrin are already forming in under the dermis, under the skin, and deep. And so then they go and they look at like these blood clots, because one of the earliest indications we had from Ryan Cole was, you know, pathologist, an independent pathologist out of Idaho, who has done fantastic work across the board on these adverse events. One of the first things that he described when he started looking at these blood clots that were being sent to him from these victims is the presence of these previously unknown, unnatural fibrins, you know, these fibers that were showing up in these blood clots. And so, you know, it as soon as it gets in the system, it begins attacking the organs. And that's why we see people present oftentimes with pain in the liver, pain in the kidneys. And those are two of the most vulnerable soft organs, right? They really are.
Have you seen the documentary that was featured, undertakers, funeral directors, embalmers, autopsies, and what they discovered were these fibroids, mm-hmm. these fibers, these rubber band type materials, right, running in
like
people's bodies?
That, right. I did see that, and there's hundreds of these people who noticed it independently, got together and said, "Are you seeing this?" And right. They were all seeing it, and you described it accurately, vividly. It's like pulling a rubber band out of a blood vessel.
Yes,
that's right.
It's just, it's
never before seen. It happened here in Fairhope. The very first indication that we had that something wasn't right was when one of my fellow scout dads, his dad, the scout's grandfather, but again, my scout dad, fellow scout dad's father, who was at that point 71 or 72, this is 2019, very healthy, jogged every day, very healthy, became deathly ill in November of 2019, just a few months before, you know, the outbreak, you know, SARS-CoV-2 supposedly was, you know, accidentally released in Wuhan. But right here in Fairhope, we had that instance where he collapsed when he went out for one of his daily jogs, was taken to ICU, and had a blood clot completely from his heart all the way down his leg to his foot. and they couldn't get the thing to break up, which is, we now know, fits the definition of what Dr. Ryan Cole and other physicians have said, which is that these clots, these fibrous clots, have, many of them have a similar trait in that they do not respond to anticoagulation, you know, anti-clotting agents, which
That was after his vaccine. You said he fell sick before.
What I'm saying, the scout dad, the grandfather, had not, this is before SARS-CoV-2, this is 2 or 3 months before the big Wuhan outbreak, supposedly, and all that. It showed up here, and that was highly unusual. You just didn't, up to that point in the SARS-CoV-2 outbreak, and then the vaccines, you never heard about people developing clots from their heart, especially active people, mm-hmm. from their heart all the way down, you know, a limb, right, including their main femoral artery, right? It was just unbelievable when you looked at it, and that was something to puzzle over. And by the time we got to late 20 and then early 21, it was becoming more clear in my mind, anyway, that there was something else going on there. But Richard, what's the name in that movie that you talk about, Lori? It's timely. Is that Richard Flanagan, I think was his name, the embalmer, the trade embalmer here in Alabama, was one of the very first ones to go public with his findings, and he was wary, you know, but the thing that you love about the guy is that he's so humble. He's been interviewed locally.
My recollection was all of their patients with that symptom or those fibroids were vaccinated.
Yes.
Yeah, and yes. Okay. Yeah. You're
and
right.
So
you're right.
Since then, but so what this amyloidosis does, this discussion about it, and what we're seeing is that the spike protein in SARS-CoV-2 caused some of these cases, right? And because you saw, you know, cases like, you know, people throwing clots, they'd get COVID, and then they'd have blood clotting issues, or they would suffer a heart attack, they'd do the autopsy, or the trade embalmer would go in and take a look at it, and then they'd pull out a 2-foot clot out of their system. And they'd never seen that before, ever, right? So, you know, that, you know, we can thank, and I hope I'm saying his last name right. Somebody help me with that if I'm not. But I had it written down, and I know who it is, but on the spot, his name is Richard, I think, Flanagan. Anyway, trade embalmer from further north here in Alabama, but, you know, again, another Alabamian standing strong in his trade, and standing up and telling the world what he found. And it's interesting that once he did that, that more and more people, it took a few months, you know, but more and more people got on board and started talking about what they were seeing. And even then, he faced tremendous pushback and censorship. You know, they came after him hard. Right, and he became kind of a rock star overnight. They wanted to put him out on the speaking circuit, and then he began, as his profile began to increase and rise, they attacked him wholesale. And so, you know, again, just interesting to take a look at this. But when we go back and we look at amyloidosis, it describes some of what we're seeing with the scarring and what Dr. Peter McCullough and others have talked about with the scarring on the heart. You know, but when we look at this amyloidosis, it certainly is probably one of the biggest mechanisms of injury, what they call the MOI, the mechanism of injury in many of these adverse events. And so when we see organ failure, multiple organ failure, or the blood clotting or the myocarditis, what it may actually be is this amyloidosis, this fibrosis setting into and toughening up the skin or your heart, which is supposed to beat freely. Okay. If it's bound up with this heavy fibrin, it's going to interrupt the electrical conductivity. It could show up as a scar on the heart and be, you know, cross-interpreted as myocarditis, but it's really amyloidosis. So anyway, folks, just as we continue to build the issue on that, it's very, very important that, you know, that we really take a hard look at what it is, and so that we know what to pressure our, you know, and ask questions of our elected representatives. And so I would encourage you in this moment to ask our elected representatives, why aren't we seeing more autopsies? Why have autopsies been suppressed And, you know, we've had situations right here in Baldwin County where we've had young people drop dead after we know that they got the shot, you know, and other people. And, you know, an autopsy or a public autopsy sure would be useful. And also, related to this health freedom moment, we want to talk about that in a decision that was just talked about yesterday and voted on by Congress on a new FCC rule where the Congress or the federal government is now going to exercise increased censorship over the entire internet in the United States. We'll talk about that more at a later date, but the censorship is not going away and it's not easing off. Just like we talked about that one item we were going to review today, poof, it's gone off X today. Now we got to go find it again. We will. But then you look at the other people that have been attacked, like Russell Brand recently, Neil Oliver, the fantastic lead thought leader out of Scotland, John Campbell, you know, on YouTube with like a billion views, one of the foremost analysts on COVID and what the data really tell us. And then, of course, Jessica Rose also, you know, being censored, including on Substack. And so
censorship is the fundamental building block of the dictatorship that we're already in.
That's right. So we have to stand up for First Amendment rights, folks. And we're asking you, you know, with conversations like this, we want to build the issue so that you can then take that. We are empowered with knowledge, and we take that and we talk to our elected representatives and we demand appropriate action from our government, which to this point has expressed little to no concern about this massive public health crisis that's emerging with excess deaths or even what's causing it. And so we've got to get to the bottom of it. Autopsies are one of the first biggest tools that we can use to do that. And so make sure you're here letting your voice be heard with your elected representatives. Okay, folks, we'll see you in 2 weeks. We're going to talk real quick about a couple opportunities here. The Moms for Liberty next meeting will be December 14th, 6 p.m. over at First Baptist Church, Fairhope. Health Freedom Alabama, sign their petition at healthfreedomalabama.com. Common Sense Campaign meets fourth Monday or Tuesday. Planning Committee meets first Monday of every month. Think Tank, next one will be first Saturday of December at 8 a.m. over at Mama Lou's in Robertsdale. Point Clear Republican Women will next meet at a regular meeting on Tuesday, January 23rd at 5 p.m. at Oak Hollow in Fairhope. South Baldwin Republican Women will meet the fourth Tuesday, January 23rd at 11 a.m. at the Gift Horse. Eastern Shore Republican Women meet the second Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. at Fairhope Yacht Club, and we encourage you to see them. For homework, please look up Dr. Jessica Rose, her interview on American Thought Leaders with Janja Kielik, who is one of my fellow analysts on Red Star Rising. He is fantastic, always a great interview, and we'll see y'all in 2 weeks. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you very much, Judd Blakely and Deke Cox. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, hosted by retired Naval Lieutenant Commander, Intelligence Officer Deke Cox. Brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash, as well as an anonymous donor. This is WABF, Mobile, Fairhope, great music and memories, now resuming regular programming.
Hello, baby! Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking.